Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show, taken by other competitions. Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I'm going to talk about day three of the series of the ABCs to starting your own business. Today, we're going to talk about funding strategies. If you have any questions, you can go ahead and post it in the chat room or give me a call at 347-324-3460. Let me dive right into it. I have had probably 20 years of small business financing experience, and I'm just going to tell you two facts. The majority of applications are turned down is over compliance, because something just doesn't make sense and bring questions. When you actually apply for a loan, you need to go and give us a dog and pony show. You give us the best of the best, accurate information, truthful information, things that make sense, that is worth the risk. We don't want something that's half brought. We're looking for financial statements. We're looking for this. We're asking for that. I'm going to go talk about this show in two steps. Not three steps, but two steps. Compliance and the types of loans, and probably conclude a summary of what you need to get done. So let me talk about compliance. Then I'm going to talk about the type of loans. Compliance is the number one reason why people get turned down. And what is a compliance issue? Compliance is the simple formation of your company the way it's set out. And I have this on my blog at blog.applecapitalgroup. Let me break it down exactly what you need to do as a check sheet in order to make that first step in getting a loan. Before we do that, we're going to take a break from our sponsor, Apple Capital Group, and we'll be back in one moment.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to the Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Okay, again, welcome back to the show, ABCs of Starting Your Own Business. This is day three, funding strategies. Compliance. Compliance is a series of checkpoints that we look at as lenders. What if all the eggs make sense in order for us to bring it to committee? Number one, you need to have a clear defined package. How your structure, your legal structure of your business, or your DBA, sole proprietorship, and sole proprietorship is one owner. Now, if you're a couple, most they understand as community property, so they consider as one. But those are the only legal owners of the company. Even if it's in the husband's name or the wife's name, we consider it as a marital asset. That's one. Okay, that's who is end up going to have to qualify for the loan. A corporation is the next step. Either you be S Corp or LLC, it doesn't really matter, or you be a partnership. And those are the three things. Either you're a sole proprietor, but if you're a married couple, we consider that as community property anyway. Okay, you can be one person on the paper. meaning that a couple can't be a sole proprietorship because they share an asset. Number two, if you're a corporation, we're going to want the personal guarantee of the majority owner. And three is a partnership. They're going to want all the partners involved. Here's compliance. If you're a sole proprietor, you need to file with your local county. Let me go to your county office. Make sure you have in your files, and I would say put it in a booklet, a copy of your assumed name certificate or your business license. So that's number one you need to have ready because they might ask for that. Number two, if you're in a corporation, we want a copy of a couple of things. Make sure that you file with the Secretary of State in your state, and you include that certificate, okay, of your incorporation, number one. Number two, not only your certificate, you want to include your articles of incorporation, and those need to be part of your kit, okay? And you also need to get a corporate kit with stock shares and stock registry and so forth, just in case that comes up. And those kits are usually like $29 to $50, have stock certificates, stock ledgers, forms for minutes of meetings, because you might have to make a resolution officially as a corporation in order to sign for the loan. Okay? So that sole proprietorship, that is a corporation. And again, Secretary of State, if you're going to be a partnership, you just include your certificate from the state along with your articles for partnership. Okay? So those are the three things. Now, those are three legal entities for your company. And now we've got to break it down to the other steps that you need. So again, sole proprietorship, number two, which can be a couple as well, but always uses one owner unless it's a couple, okay? Number two, corporate papers, okay? Three, partnerships. And out of all of them, you need a copy of the date it was filed and your certificate. And with your corporation partnership, you have to include your articles of incorporation. Kind of keep that in mind. Okay. And you can get your assumed name certificate, your DBA, your business license out of your county office. And your partnership papers you can file with the Secretary of State, your corporation or your partnership, Secretary of State. And let me put a footnote in here. SCORE can help you free of charge. Just go to them and they will help you do your, for free of charge, your corporate paperwork or your partnership, and all you have to do is pay for the filing fee for the state. Okay, here's the other things. They're all going to be the same. Once you have that in hand, the next step you want to do is apply for your employer identification number. You can call that in or apply online. You get the number right then and there. And if you do it online, you get your printout. That's the next thing in your little binder that you always have your hands to. So you have a backup. You have a binder. So your corporate paperwork is the first page. Second would be your employer identification number. Okay? You can get that from the irs.gov/businesses/small/article. It's easy to find. It's employer identification number on the IRS website. Also, you need to have a landline. You should be in business for at least 90 days to prove that you have some sales. So your landline is important because they're going to verify your business. Virtual lines don't mark your address. But even for listing and directories, you want to do this because they will submit your listing to all the directories, just like you do for a website. But have a landline from the very beginning before you go to a virtual line. And make sure it does get listed. You can get it listed free because it's part of your monthly plan. Okay? So that's number four. Number five, get a local bank that's an SBA preferred lender or something that has the SBA on that, because they can make loans through the SBA from that. So that helps you out and they understand small businesses. Okay? But at least have your banking relationship with them at least for a few months so they can see what's going on with the business. If you look like you're making some income, push to do all you can. Say, hey, I'm really growing leaps and bounds and I need additional help. Show that in that bank account. Don't have any return checks. If you you know, if you need to write a return, don't have any return checks, bottom line. Should be no negative balances. Needs to be a positive balance. I would say deposit at least $1,000 so you can be in the low fours. And don't go under $1,000. If that's your whole investment, stay there and just keep the account going, okay? So that's number five. Number six, you need to add a domain. You need to have a domain because it's easy for underwriting to find out who you are and find more information about if you have a domain. So go to GoDaddy, get a domain for like $10, and do a small blog, WordPress, or do Website Tonight web page, and give us five pages up. That's really what you really need about us, who you are, if you're e-commerce or whatever. Tell us who you are. And that's your image. Also, so when you do that, submit all your domain to free directories. And they have a plan for that for GoDaddy. Just take advantage of that. It's like $30 a year. Okay? Number seven, create a business plan and a capability statement. A business plan, score can help you with that as well. But also, you can do it online. Don't make it extremely long, and I'm going to tell you what bankers want in a business plan. They want the financials. They want an overview of the first page, what you're asking for and who you are. They want a resume. They want financials first. They want assets to see what they can attach to. And, again, if you apply for a bank, they want everything as collateral that you list. Okay, everything. If you default, they take everything. Okay, capability statement. Is good to have on your website because if you're going to be selling to government or big businesses, they want to see what you're capable of doing, what sins you have, not as of evil sins, but is sin codes and what categories you fall into, your NICS code. And you can look at our website at Apple Capital Group, and you see a capability statement. And they say who you are in a nutshell, what codes that is going to be applicable to you, especially if you sell to federal or government agencies, state agencies, municipalities, and so forth. Okay, that's need to be included. Also, you need to get a DUNS number. This is your credit report for usually trade suppliers reports to Dun & Bradstreet. Also, try to get in with Equifax and Experian. And Paynet, try to get those profiles set up as well. Also, you want to be listed in CCR.gov, which is the Central Contractor Registration for the federal government. You got to be listed there, but you got to have a Dun & Bradstreet number first. Then you go into your CCR second. It takes a couple of days. It takes usually 24 hours to get your Dun & Bradstreet. But when you apply for Dun & Bradstreet, apply as a government contractor, so it will go quicker. You can get it with the next day because they know with their agreement with the federal government, they need to turn those around within 24 hours. Then versus you go into corporate, meaning the commercial end, it would take maybe a week or so, okay, or a few days. You just never know, okay? So register that. That gives you some opportunities, make you look more credible as well. Say, hey, I have a customer that I have an opportunity to sell to the federal government. You already listed that question's already been checked off. Number three, you need to have a merchant account. So if the government does want to take an order from you or someone take an order from you, you also have merchant traffic. And it's easier to sell things to the public with credit cards or to businesses when you have an opportunity to take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Okay? Costs you $10 a month. You can go to PayPal. You can go to Google. They have a plan. Or you can give us a call. We can set you up with a merchant account at Apple Capital Group. Number 11, you need to register with Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter account. You need to have those four basic social media accounts. And that is shaping your branding. You look legitimate company. You look really solid. Also, once you do those and add some other social network options, then look for registering with your reseller certificate. Make sure you have that. Make sure you have your wholesale certificate if you need it for your particular state for taxes in order to sell people. And also, I would say to keep all your social media in one place, you need to also have a blog on your website. And you need to blog an article every day or something or like a diary of something that your business specializes in so you can get traffic to your site. Google, you have to feed the animal, as I call it. Feed the animal is Google. Google-like content. Okay, the next item is let me go down to a line. You can tie all these social media things together by going to YourBiz or Hootsuite or Social Bro. Okay, the next thing you want to do is take business pictures of your business, do videos on YouTube. You know, you can take pictures, put that on your site so you can look legitimate. Okay, number 15 item, if you're a nonprofit, you know, you go try to get your federal exemption. And then, of course, you have passion for your business. And those are the compliance issues, again. And you can listen to this. I mean, it's a short broadcast, so I'm just going to continue and talk about financing itself. Some people talk about conventional. I'm just going to talk nuts and bolts today. There are several ways you can get a loan. And let me tag on merchant accounts. If you do well on merchant accounts, if you process at least $3,000 a month, you will be able to get a merchant advance or you can get a merchant loan. But you need to at least go have 3 months of processing so I can see what your history is. But let me add a footnote on your personal credit. Your personal credit and your business credit is really important that you establish that. If you have personal credit issues, you need to clean those up and you need to address those issues because those issues are going to hurt you, your credibility in repaying. And then bankers look at that as character. They understand people have bumps in the road, but that's a character flaw that will take your loan longer to process. It's like you're applying for a home. You want to have the best credit for your business, you want to have the best credit for your person. So your personal credit is really central. You need to be in the 600s, the mid 600s. Not the low 600s, the mid. No, 650 and above is an acceptable risk. Now, if you're 7s, wonderful. You're in the 8s, excellent. You get, you know, they'll probably give you, approve your application in a week if you're 800s and if you have at least some collateral and some income. The types of loans you can take a look at is, number one, if I go to my company's website, Apple Capital Group, we're going to break it down to asset-based loans, equipment financing, small business, and factoring. Let's do about asset-based lending. Asset-based lending can be all types of things, but usually the underlying thing is the asset, if it's commercial real estate or equipment or trucks or whatever. Those are assets that you can use to get a loan against. You pay a higher fee for it because we're taking used equipment as collateral. But, however, you can get more money than a traditional bank loan in one sense from the assets because we're taking the liability. Some programs we might call it like a lease sellback. Some we just write a regular loan based on that particular piece of equipment if it's a truck. Or if it's a car, if it's something really tangible, heavy-duty equipment, we can write you a loan of that from 12 months to 60 months. So that's an asset-based loan, if that makes sense to you. The next step is an option called equipment financing or equipment leasing. We can also write you a loan for equipment leasing to buy new equipment, to buy used equipment. You can lease that as well, okay? Or you can finance that, okay? So that's equipment leasing and financing. Real simple, nothing really difficult about it. I don't want to confuse you with it. They will go up to $20 million if you can prove the income to support $20 million. Don't ask for a $1 million loan, and if you can't, in your financial support, a $1 million payment. So kind of keep in mind that, yes, we want to look at the advancement, but get enough that you can support the monthly payments. Can you service the loan is one of the questions and the tests you got to meet. If you asking for $1 million on the project, it's just, to a banker, stupid because you don't have the income to support that. So when it comes around for that first month or 45 days to make that first payment, you need to have that first payment in the bank, number one, and you need to have the income to pay for it. So you can afford a $10 million, if you're making $10,000 a month and your notes come out to be $10,000, that's not going to work. Maybe it works at $1,000 or $2,000, but not at $10,000 a month. Kind of keep that in mind, okay? Small business loans, there are several products of loans that you can have, and I think one of them, there's a microloan that's usually offered through through the SBA. Man, they have micro-type outfits throughout the country. Ace Leon is one for Texas and Florida, I just know offhand. But they're like things from $500 on, and it's a six-year loan. It's real, real simple. Give me 1 second. By definition, the microloan program provides short-term loans to small business concerns and certain types of for nonprofit like child care centers. SBA makes funds available typically to intermediary lenders and also nonprofit community-based organizations. Usually the loans will, for eligible buyers, maximum is $50,000, but the average is around $13,000. Okay, and it's for working capital. It's for purchasing inventory and supplies. It's for purchase of furniture and fixtures. Also, furniture, machinery, and equipment. Okay, let me back up to another program. It's the SBA loan program, and I'm going to talk about our program as well. The SBA loan program is a slower process. They can be quicker if you go to a preferred lender, a direct lender for the SBA. That's me. They just run it through. You meet all those certain guidelines that SBA has. They pretty much signs off for it. So there's three levels of that. It's preferred lender, it's another lender, and then it's a regular. We take SBA certificates. But you got to qualify for the loan. SBA is guaranteed, but you still have to qualify at the bank level. Keep that in mind. It's not a free thing. You still have to qualify for it on the bank level. So, again, Dog and Pony Show, make sure your financials are good. Make sure you've been in business for 3 to 6 months. And then go from there unless you have a lot of capital. The 7A program is real simple. It's financial assistance for business with special requirements. For example, anybody can get a 7A loan, as long as you qualify. And I'm going to tell you about it. If you listen to the show we had a few months ago with the SBA, they have a lot of different programs, export loans, rural system loans, all type of advantages that you can qualify for because it's the best interest of the SBA. So take a look at that on SBA.gov. And I'm going to talk about the last SBA loan is the CDC 504 loan program. That loan program also available for if you're in a rural area. To help you also get additional equipment costs. You can buy a building that you're in. It's mainly real estate based. You can purchase land, you can purchase a building, make renovations. You can have some soft costs done in that loan as well. So the project is up to $1 million. So you can look at the SBA website for that as well. Also, we have a little small loan program as well that you have to qualify, you have to take credit cards for. It's an unsecured loan, but you have to have decent credit. And with that decent credit loan, real simple, you apply for it, and when you apply for it, we give you an answer within 2 hours, real simple loan program. So it's unsecured. I believe it's up to $25,000 you can apply for, and we'll just send the paperwork to you and fund it within a couple of days. And the real estate is real estate. I mean, when you do a real estate loan, we look at the ratio, the loan-to-value ratio. If you're 50-50, it's a really good deal. But they want you to have sufficient equity, at least 30% in a property. Our down payment, what you're going to buy as a property, those looks pretty good, and we're willing to take the risk on that. Factoring is another thing. If you don't have the invoice factoring is that we're buying the paper from you, and we're financing your accounts receivables. Real simple. Your accounts receivable is an asset. So if you are billing the federal government, you're billing Xerox Corporation, you're billing whoever, once you generate that invoice, we would advance you up to 90% of that and but however you pay, maybe 2% per month outstanding of that particular invoice. So you have a good margin, that's fine. Margins mean you have a 40% or a 30%, but if that invoice goes over 90 days, you're still not on the, you're off the hook on it because we underwritten the company of the invoice. So Xerox, we know eventually will pay that invoice, so that company will pay it, won't hold it against you. So usually invoices are paid within 30 days, and you might be paying only 2% of the face value. So if it's a $100 invoice, you're paying $2, if that makes sense. $1,000, you're paying $20. If it goes on that, it goes another 2% for the next month. So now it becomes 60 days before they pay it. On day 60, that's $2. Going to the next one, it's prorated until they get to the another. So it can add up, but, you know, it's just the cost of doing business. So make sure you price your business or your products based on that if you need that facility of accounts receivable. Again, those are usually, you will send the invoice to us. We fund it within 24 hours to you. And you send the invoice out at normal means, and they pay it back to a lockbox at the bank. And once that invoice pays, we automatically deduct our fee out, and the next day you should get the remainder of that particular invoice. So let me wrap it up. So $100 invoice, we advance you up to 90, so you got $90 already, okay? The invoice would pay in 30 days, so we got the $100 in our lockbox. From the bank, the clerk would put in, okay, this is 2%. Up to this particular day is 2%, okay? They'll take their 2% out, which is $2, and they will send the difference to you. And that's $8 back to you. So it still come out to be the same thing. You got $98 off of a $100 invoice, and your cost of doing business was 2%. Purchase order financing, if you look at the other end of that stick, that's mean we actually doing a line of credit to the supplier to send the product to you. So we can do that, but if we do purchase order financing, we have to also do accounts receivable financing because we need to cover one to the other. So meaning that if you buy stuff from Xerox, we'll open a line of credit. We will make sure they get paid when it gets to you. So when it arrives at your facility, they get paid automatically. And then the financing starts because you got to figure out how soon you can get this product out. You can get it out the next day. Then the clock starts on the accounts receivable, if that makes sense. So, again, you bought something from Xerox. Xerox ships it out that day. That's when the clock starts. And then when it gets to you a few days later, clocks end, and we pay Xerox. So if it's 5 days, we pay Xerox based on that. So whatever that percentage is for, that's prorated for the whole month, if it's 1% or 2% or 3%, then we hold our 3% fee. Okay, so the other part of that is now you ship it out a day later, 2 days later, then that starts the clock on that accounts receivable. So we take our funds out of the account receivable. So you just have to add that cost to that. So instead of you having 2%, maybe it's another 2% because you have to pay for the cost of the purchase order. So instead of you getting $90, up to $90, like I said, off the $100 invoice, we take 2% out of that. So we're taking $2 out. So your cost of business for the whole transaction, face value, $100 on the invoice, we take 2% out for the accounts receivable. Then we're going to take 2% out for the purchase order. So that's all in a nutshell. Again, thank you for listening to the program today. And if you have any financial questions, please tune in or give me a call at Apple Capital Group. Thank you for listening, everybody, and everybody have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.